So yesterday we started moving from more reflective approach to insight to a more direct experience approach. And we had quite an active day yesterday. We went bungee jumping and we ran a half marathon in Bristol. And all this is in the service of putting an end to suffering. And what fundamentally causes this suffering is that our mind is misinterpreting things in terms of a me in here in relation to, it's always a wherever there's a subject, there's always an object, and that produces tension in various ways, and in trying to resolve that tension, craving and aversion rear their ugly heads. So anything that we're doing with insight ought to be impinging somehow on a deeper understanding of the subject, the object, or the relationship between them. And it should also be about looking at the nature of things rather than the content. Looking at what's really, well, seeing the meaning of it on a deeper level, as it says in the Udana, the Buddha sees something happening, and seeing the meaning of it, he gives utterance to this verse of uplift. So it's seeing into the principles of things more and more deeply. Yeah, so there's a difference between that and being focused on the content. So. Yeah, so for instance, I live in Cambridge, and outside Trinity College in Cambridge, there's an apple tree, which is supposed to be a descendant of the one that when Sir Isaac Newton discovered gravity, he saw an apple falling, and from that he kind of, it set him thinking about how things were. Yeah, so if I'd had Isaac Newton with me as I was watching that bungee jump, I might have been thinking about, well, that poor girl, and how is it for her? He might have been thinking about gravity and principles of elasticity and things as she kind of went boing, boing. Yeah, so looking into deeper principles of things. And, we can take this on. In a way, it's partly kind of looking into the paradigms, the kind of structure, how we're structuring our experience in terms of how we're approaching it. And that goes deeper and deeper. And very often in the Dharma life, we are actually making sincere efforts, but within a limited paradigm, within a limited way of looking at things. So, we're doing our best, but because we are within that kind of limited view, it doesn't produce the results that we want. And very often we work away and don't quite get the results that we want, and we can look at that. And resolve, we either then decide that we're not good enough or that we should just try harder. Where what we actually need is to look more deeply into our whole approach and how we're telling ourselves about how practice unfolds. Yeah, there was that question the other day where the questioner was saying something like, I'm trying to convince, I think convince was in inverted commas, I'm trying to convince myself about insight and no self, but that produces anger and then I start to blame myself. So yes, you can make very sincere efforts, but if you're within a kind of limited view of things where, well, I'm not saying anything about that particular questioner, but one of the things which does happen a lot with Western Dharma practitioners is that we're operating within some kind of paradigm where we turn spiritual life into something which we can succeed or fail at. And, you know, we already, perhaps as we came into the Dharma life, we didn't feel quite good about ourselves. We felt we were this good and we should have been that good. But then practicing the Dharma, we get given all this sort of idealism about the Bodhisattva ideal and gaining enlightenment. So now we feel that we should be much better still. So now we're starting to fail quite badly. And so we sort of set up a kind of sense of where we should be at with the practice. And then we try to make that happen. I'm almost a bit wary of people telling me that they're trying to do something in practice, because very often it's to me, that very often suggests that you're making an effort to achieve something, sort of to kind of overcome something on the same level as the issue that you're trying to overcome. And so there's this, you set up a sort of, it's a spiritual goal, but it's also an ego goal of, you know, my practice should look like this. There's a sort of sense of, you know, how you will be when the practice works, which you then feel that you want to achieve. And there's all the genuine idealism of, you know, I'm not taking away any of that, but also there's a kind of near enemy, which is a sense of, and when I do that, I will feel all right about myself. You know? And to get it, and so, and if we don't, because it is still quite sort of ego-based, yeah, there's a sort of a pushing to achieve that goal. And because the whole thing is not kind of operating on the right basis, it's a bit kind of crude. We're trying to force ourselves into a particular mould. We have an idea of who we will be on this next step of the path, and we try to make ourselves that. Then, of course, there's resistance. Our mind doesn't like to be squeezed like that. So then, yes, feelings of anger or whatever come up at that point. And then we feel like it doesn't seem to be working. So then we feel badly about ourselves and we start to blame ourselves. So we really, and we can carry on doing that for years, actually. And either end up feeling, you know, we're not a very good Dharma practitioner. Or pushing and pushing until, you know, something in us kind of can't bear to operate like that anymore. Whereas, you know, we need to sort of just step back a bit and look at, well, what am I telling myself about the practice and how am I trying to do it? And all practice needs to be, I love the fact that Bhante translates kusala as skillful, because the practice needs to be skillful, not just in the sense of wholesome and, you know, positive, but skillful in the sense that we are, as I said the other day, yeah, treating ourselves more like a musical instrument than, you know, a sort of one of those old sort of slot machines, you know, where you put the penny in and or whatever the coin in, and nothing happens. You kind of kick it until something drops. Some of you may remember those. If not, you saw them in some film from the 50s. So we need to. There needs to be that kind of skillfulness that if something isn't working, okay, we get really interested. Obviously, everything's conditioned, so we haven't set up the conditions for it to work. So, yeah, have we got the right kind of helpful, subtle, lightly held view of what we're trying to do? Are we making the right kind of gentle, steady, encouraging effort? And so on. Yeah. Have we got the conditions in place? Because, yes, rather than just, I didn't try hard enough. You know, I should have done more. That's not it. Yeah, we want to treat our practice less like, you know, some kind of expedition, and maybe more like a sort of arts project or a scientific project even. You know, with an arts project, you've got some sense of what you're trying to achieve, but as you go into it, just in the process of it, you're constantly aware of the colours and the materials, and it starts to turn out, not exactly as you imagined it at all, but there's an aliveness and a creativity and a kind of engagement with it and an interest, and the materials, they're part of, you're not just kind of forcing them to be a certain way. The materials kind of, you're in dialogue with the materials. Yeah. So we need to be kind of in dialogue with ourselves, with our own minds, with our own bodies. Yeah. There's this sort of attentiveness and receptivity, you know, which helps us to go in that direction that we want to go in. Or like a scientific experiment where, okay, you have a hypothesis, but you're holding it lightly and you're testing it out, and you see, well, what happens if we do this? What happens if we add that? And was that way that we were thinking about it right? No, maybe that's not right. Yeah. So that, looking at it like that, rather than just, I've got to go from A to B. Yeah. And then it all becomes much more alive and engaging and interesting. Yeah, so even before we get into deep insights, there are just insights into the paradigm, the way in which we're looking at things, the stance we're taking to practice, to life in different situations. You just step back and look into that. Right, what did I actually want to talk to you about this morning? Good question. Oh, yeah. So we started in on direct experience and in direct experience, we're looking to see, well, what is our experience made up of? And that sense of me, what is that made up of? Well, this is part of direct experience practice. So there's the body, and then there's all the thoughts, and I think, in the order we're getting better and better at being able to see how we're telling ourselves stories all the time, and how that's a major way in which we keep a sense of self going. Yeah. We're human beings, we're great sort of storytelling animals. We love to tell stories. So all through the day, we tend to be telling ourselves the story of me. It's this wonderful kind of ongoing kind of serial which has been running for years now. with all its ups and downs and cliffhanger endings. And because we are, one of the main ways in which we're identified is we identify with thinking, we identify with thought. There was dear old Descartes, wasn't there, who came to cogito ergo sum, you know, I think, therefore I am. You know, I know I exist because I'm thinking. Yeah.
He tried.
Yeah, he really tried. He did his best to see how reality was, and what he came up with was that. And you give it to a Buddhist teacher and get it back with 0 out of 10. See me. Yeah. He put you on the path. Fantastic. Wow. He did a good job. He did a very good thing. Yeah. So when we look into how much thinking we do, we do far more thinking usually, speaking generally, I can't speak for all of you, than we ever really need to do. And why is that? I mean, a lot of it is actually just repetitive. And the reason why we do it, it seems, is because when we're thinking, we know that we're here. We know that we exist. And when the mind goes quiet, because we're very identified with thought, who am I? Where am I? So one of the ways of helping to unravel this sense of me that we hold on to, which causes all that tightness and closing in the body and mind, is just by really looking into thinking and the nature of thought. Okay, let's do a little bit of practice in that area then. So this is if we start a practice by just coming back to neutral. Not trying to go anywhere, forwards or back. Just here. as we sit, let ourselves relax. And it's as if our center of gravity gets lower. So we feel more in contact with the ground. So we can feel actual points of connection, say with the mat and the cushion, but they're just ideas. There's also a sense of the ground, the earth going down below us. What is that? Is that just imagination? Is it a feeling in the body? Let's attend to our posture. Maybe rather than just having a general sense, we could take half a minute and just feel into what we call the vertebrae of the spine. Just having a sense of inviting things to open. Attending to the body more generally. How do we know we have a body? What can we feel?
start off feeling our way into the feelings and sensations. And tracking them in more detail. And then just as it were being the feelings and sensations. Now for a minute or two, focusing on the sensations that we call the breathing. So now, I'd invite you to produce some thinking, not personal, maybe let's think about China, however we do it. Beijing, the Great Wall, the Tibetan Autonomous Region. Just some thoughts about China. And as they're happening, see if with a subtle part of your awareness, you can just look at what those thoughts are made up of. If you've done this before, see if you can do it afresh. So what can we find? Words? Pictures? Feelings in the body? What's this thinking made up of? See if you can make it sort of play a little bit with it being more absorbing, being more in it, and then it being less involving. Notice what happens. Now let's just rest for a minute, nothing to do. Now, I'd invite you to do some thinking that does involve you. Maybe you could think about your current age.
such and such age. I had my last birthday, whenever it was. And again, in the same way, with a subtle part of awareness, just notice what that thought's made up of. Is there any difference between that and thoughts about China? Again, what can we find? Words, pictures, sensations. What's there? And does it feel like we are the thinking? Or is there me having these thoughts? And if there's me having these thoughts, where is that exactly? What's that made up of? ready, when we've done our best to have a look at how it is. Can we just let everything go?